Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Right back at you.
I'm pretty much done with comments about my fuzzy head, so you can pretty much let those go now. Over the last 2 weeks, there was really no reason to shave my head. And then yesterday I went to the electric razor, and it was dead. And so I either need a new razor for Christmas, or I'm just going to let my hair grow for a little while. Which every time I let my hair grow for even 2 days, Jeff Young gets very nervous that the ponytail might be coming back. And so I would like to reassure him and everyone else that there's no real fear of that. Don't worry. First off, big hand for all our musicians who played this morning. Now get used to clapping like that, because we're going to have several people up here speaking for us this morning. And it's okay to applaud for them. It's okay to encourage that behavior. So if you feel like applauding for your child or other people's children, feel free. Last time I saw you, I'm just going to do this story once quickly, and then I won't have to tell it anymore. Last time I saw you, you all said, "So how's your back?" And I said, "Oh, I'm tired of talking about it, and I'm sure you're all tired of hearing about it." And then I said, "But I'm increasingly convinced that it may be more than one problem." Then I went home, and on Monday I went to my doctor and said, "I think I have a kidney stone. I am convinced that that's what's bringing all this pain to my back." And it had become really excruciatingly painful. Those of you who were watching closely know that by the time I had talked for about 20 minutes, a half hour, I was starting to really cramp up and making a lot of very small hand gestures because my back was just hurting so badly. And then I would immediately have to sit down because it just hurt so bad. So I said to the doctor, "I think kidney stone." He set me up for a CT scan the next day. The CT scan said that I had a 10-millimeter stone in my right kidney. So the next day I was off to a urologist, and the urologist looked at the same CT scan and came into me and said, "Mr. McLarty, that's not 10 millimeters." He said, "I counted at least 11 one direction, 12, 13 the other." He said, "That's a big stone. And it's not going anywhere. It's not going to pass. We're going to have to bust it up." Silly me, I thought that like when you go to a doctor and you say, "I'm in excruciating pain," and then the doctor says, "We have found the cause," that people like jump right to it. You know, people, "By all means, get a stretcher in here. Let's help Mr. McLarty. We've identified the fact that he has a golf ball in his kidney. Let's do whatever we need to do for him." The doctor left, came back in and said, "I'll see you next Tuesday." And this was Wednesday. And so I growled at him and I said, you've got to be kidding. So he rearranged his schedule and said, "Monday." Ooh, thanks. So Monday, my brother took me to the surgical center up in Nashville. Now, here's another example of silly me. I was in so much pain that I didn't even think about how painful lithotripsy might be. Now, if you don't know anything about lithotripsy, this is the process by which they blast your kidney with sonic booms. And the sonic booming makes the stone break. And they do it several times in a row to really make the stone bust up as much as they can. He said because of the size of my stone, there was some fear that he would have to do the lithotripsy twice. So he said, "We'll do it once, we'll wait a week, we'll do it again." They put you completely to sleep under general major anesthesia because your body could not endure the sonic booming in your body. So they knocked me out, they did the booming thing. Here's the silly me part. I never gave any thought to, "Gee, I wonder if that hurts." I just wanted the stone gone. And so I woke up in the recovery room with a large piece of rubber in my body that ran from my kidney to my bladder. Ow! Ow! With a severely beat up kidney that had been sonic boomed repeatedly. Ow! Ow! And I found myself immediately just begging for every drug they had. Please, I have an IV, just put stuff in it. I did reach the point where they actually said to me, Mr. McLarty, we've given you the maximum amount of everything we can give you. And then to add insult to injury, once again, silly me, I thought after they do something like that to you, and you're laying there and you're still in a lot of pain from it, I thought they would then say, well, let's find him a hospital bed and do some pain management. Instead, they said, all right, you've got to get up and get dressed. This is an outpatient clinic and we need the bed. So my brother helped me get dressed. And next thing I knew, we were tooling down the 24 freeway with me holding my side and going, ow, ow. And fortunately, he gave me prescriptions for painkillers, which I started eating like they were Pez candies. And I'm not proud of the amount of chemicals I've put in my body the last 2 weeks, but ow! So then I got the stent removed last Tuesday, which I was very grateful for. The stone was mostly gone at that point, although for the last few days I've been getting rid of the remnants. I won't go into any detail. But then the doctor did say, now you may get phantom pain from the stent. And I said, phantom pain? I've had 2 weeks of real pain. Add the year I've lived with the stone, I've had like a whole year of real pain. Tell me about the phantom pain, Mr. Doctor, sir. He said, well, you'll know it if you get it. Some people get it, some people don't. So home I went, and that night, in the middle of the night, about 2 a.m., my eyes shot wide open, and I went, this is not phantom! There's nothing phantom about this! More drugs! This is not good for me. So that was the bad one, and then the next day, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we had another phantom bout of phantom pain. And it sure felt very real for something that was supposedly phantom. And starting that day, I said, that's it, time to get well, time to clean up. No more drugs, no more painkillers. Time to just start gutting it out and getting well. So that was Wednesday. And I'm standing here now. I'm back and ornery as ever. Because I've had, no, don't applaud that. No, because I don't encourage that behavior. Because last time I saw you guys, I think I said, I'm on the war path. Well, that hasn't changed. I'm still on the war path. And next week, when it's my turn to talk, we will start from ground zero one more time and lay out the basics of how we approach the Bible and why we approach the Bible and why it's so important to do things the proper way. And then we're going to go into 1st and 2nd Timothy and eventually Titus after that and talk some practical Christianity and talk about the purpose and function of the church, the way the church is supposed to be structured biblically. And it'll be pretty obvious that so much of what we see in the church world these days has very little to do with what Paul said is the way to do church. We'll get to all that next week. So I hope you'll be here next week. Wear flame retardant clothing. Because I got a head full of bees and I'm ready to go. I haven't gotten to talk for a few weeks. There's been no preaching. I'm used to preaching a minimum of twice a week and email and answering. I'm used to cranking out theology, and I've had a couple of weeks of just being prone and distraught, and that's not a good way for me to be. So here's what we're going to do this morning. It's Youth Sunday, and unfortunately, I got phone calls and emails from a couple of families saying that they were sickly and had things going on. The young boys are not here today because they're sickly, and a couple of other folks we thought were going to be here aren't. but we are going to nevertheless have fun with and enjoy and celebrate the young people who are here, who are prepared.
Well, thank you. I am the only young person.
Oh. The young person. Oh, I get it. That was so close to worth it.
He's back.
No, I know. Wear the flame retardant clothing, I'm telling you. But I'm glad for all of you being here. I want a genuine and a rousing round of applause for Tom and Tim. And a woo. I'm very, very happy, very, very fortunate, very, very blessed as a pastor that when things like this happen, there are men that I can call and say, I'm out of commission. You need to go keep the pulpit warm while I'm gone. And they do it, and they do it well. It's been very interesting and entertaining slash encouraging to me to listen to Tom and Tim grow in their ability to present a gospel message. And it's much tougher than you might think. And by the way, Alex was next in line. I actually got email from people who said, what about that Alex guy you did the theology talk with? Can't he preach for you? Yeah. Well, yes, he can, but I came back too soon for him. And so he's in the schedule there somewhere too. It's not an easy thing to do. You may know what you believe, and you may be able to sit down and read the Bible and have some thoughts about what you're reading. But it's a whole other thing to have to say out loud in a logical, consistent, easy-to-follow fashion what it is you believe and why you believe it and what your thoughts about a particular text are. It's a tough thing to do, and it takes practice. And it's particularly tough when you're just the one talking in a room full of people who are just looking at you. And that's why I encourage feedback and conversation here. But in your whole life, whenever you have talked to people about your faith, which is what gives people the impression that they could probably preach if they had to, they say, well, I've talked about my faith before, but that's in one-on-one conversations where you have some sense of whether you're getting through based on how the other person is responding. And so you can look in their eyes and they say things to you and they ask questions and you're having a conversation about your faith. And I am convinced that that is the way that the gospel is spread and is meant to be spread, through the interactions and conversations of human beings and human beings. But there is also a place in the Bible for preaching and teaching the scripture. And that is very different than having a conversation. That's very different than getting to get feedback from a person to find out if they're tracking with you and if they understand. To just stand and talk, when you pause to look at your notes after you've talked for 5 or 10 minutes, and there's like that silence in the room while you're looking at your notes, it's a very nerve-wracking feeling because you start wondering whether people are listening. Do they get it? Am I really saying anything here? So there's a real art and to some degree a science to preaching. And I got to hear both Tom and Tim give evidence to the fact that they are learning how to do that, because they've each had an opportunity to do it a handful of times now. I think Tim twice and Tom 3-4 times now. And when I heard Tom's last message from last Wednesday, I called him up and said, well, aren't you a preacher? Because he was really doing good. He was just really laying the stuff out. And after I heard Tim, I called him immediately and said, good job. Now, from here, let's go to here. Let's keep growing. Let's keep expanding these capabilities. Because I really, really like the idea, and it's a very, very biblical idea, that a body of believers would have more than one elder, more than one teacher. Capable men are supposed to be raised up in the church. That's part of the reason for church to exist, is to teach the gospel and raise up capable people who can preach and teach that gospel, who can be sent out from that church body to raise up more bodies to keep that gospel spreading. So I'm very, very grateful for them. And then I'm very, very grateful for Barney Johnson driving all the way up here from Alabama and coming here to preach for us last week. I didn't even finish asking him before he said yes, because that's the kind of friend he is. All right, those are all the announcements and all the stuff that we needed to get through. Youth Sunday starts now. Yay. I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure how to react to that. I don't even. Woo. So here's what we're going to do. I came in here a few weeks ago before I got laid up, and Josh, come on, Josh. Josh was sitting at the piano, and he was practicing a piece that he was going to play for an upcoming concert he was going to be a part of. And it's a, what should we call it, Josh? Is it marginally Christmas? It's got jingle bells in the middle of it somewhere. It's almost jingle bells. But it's also got some game music in it. Is that what it is? And
Japanese only PC games.
Exactly. And so I heard him playing it, and I said, would you mind playing that for Youth Sunday as our special music? And then I twisted his arm, and I threatened him. And so he agreed to play it. Now he's a really good piano player.
Oh, yes, he is.
And when you hear him play piano, you'll see right away that he makes what I do over here during hymn time sound amateurish. And so you will ask yourself immediately, why, if GCA has such a talented pianist, why does Jim continue to play piano on Sunday mornings when there is such a talented young man in our midst? Let's ask. Anyway, we're just going to keep leaning on him until he's willing. But he was willing to play this morning, and that's absolutely great. Josh is going to play, and then after Josh is done playing, Megan is going to come with our morning scripture reading and prayer, and then I will be back to work our way through the list of young folks who are here who are going to read scripture for us. You're going to read a scripture. You're going to tell us why you chose that particular scripture. What was it about it that you liked? What is the meaning that's in it that drew you to it? And then we will all applaud you wildly because we love you so much. Okay? Josh is going to play.
dragon?
Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 12, please. You there, say amen. If you're not, say wait.
Wait.
I still hear pages flipping. We're going to start at verse 9. All good? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse them not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hungers, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. My Lord and our Father, we come before you today as children of yours, as brothers and sisters, as followers and as Christians. It's such a blessing, Lord, to hear your word, and not only that, but to understand it and to have your word move us in our heart and in our minds. We pray, Lord, that as we eat today and as we leave into the outside world from this sanctuary of ours, that everything we hear is kept within us and not just driven away by the temptations around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I do have a list, and the list was sent out via email. So let's work our way through the list kind of the way it was on the email that went out, which would mean that our first presenter this morning would be Charlie. Let me tell you a few things about Charlie. Besides her sterling sense of humor, what's it been, about a year you've been playing violin now with us here?
No,
has it been more than that?
Yes. Yeah.
Has it really? Has it been that long?
Since I
came to her one day and said, you know, you play the violin. God's given you this wonderful gift of violin. Why don't you come play violin at church? And she didn't even hesitate. Yeah, okay. All right, that'd be fine. And she showed up one Sunday with her violin in tow, and she showed up early so that she could practice. And I thought, because I was dealing with a 15-year-old girl at the time, I thought, she'll do that for a week, maybe two, because she's, you know, 15. I just didn't think she'd stick with it. So it's been like 2 years now that she shows up every Sunday. She's very, very consistent, very devoted to it, has treated it like a ministry, which is how you need to treat anything that you do for the church or for the Lord. And I just couldn't be prouder of her. I have pictures at home of her when she was just a little tyke. She was probably Tyler size when I first met her, right around there. And we've all gotten to watch her grow into a mature and intelligent Christian woman. Now, you don't want to debate this woman, because she knows her stuff and she knows her theology, and I'm very, very proud of her. So Charlie will be our first presenter this morning.
So how is everybody this morning? Good. All right. Well, I know we're about to start preaching in this, as Pastor Jim was saying. Next week we're going to start in Timothy. But if everyone wants to read with me, 2 Timothy is where I'm going to be. And it's going to be chapter 3 and a little bit of chapter 4. How long do I have? Now, I'm not going to take like 30 minutes or an hour and a half like Pastor Jim, but this is really important to me because what the first verse that I'm going to read to you, it's chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 16, and I think this should be just cut right out and pasted on the front cover and says copyright right here. works cited, sources, right here. This is why we are here today and why everybody who's going to come up today can come up here and say, this is the truth, and they can read it, and we can all agree, and we all know it's the truth. It's because of this verse right here. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. That's why we're here. And that's why we know that the Bible's true. It's because of this right here. God breathed. God wrote this book. Man didn't write this book. God wrote this book. You know, for this whole morning, we need to keep that in mind. Everything that's said today is the truth from the Bible. My father, when I was growing up, he always told us, what's a better way to say it? Have you ever seen those movies or kids' cartoons? They always at the end, the big moral story at the end is, you just got to believe in yourself. You just gotta believe in your heart, you know, and even word of faith, you know, if you just had more faith. You know, it's always about what you can do. What does my heart want? And I remember when we were really young, and my dad, every single time somebody would say that on TV, he would go, now guys, you know that's wrong. He would almost pause it every single time and go, guys, that's wrong. You don't believe in yourself, believe in God, because God's the one who instructs your steps. And he would say it every time, and as I was growing older, I was thinking, okay, this is getting kind of old. But as I was reading 2 Timothy on my spare time, I was like, wait a second. That's one of the very first things that it says in chapter 3. And if we start in chapter 3, verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And here it goes. For men will be lovers of self. Very first thing on the list. Men will be lovers of self. That's right now in our world we see today, people completely consumed with themselves, to the fact that our moral stories and our kid cartoons are, you just gotta believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You know, believe in your heart. What your heart tells you. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. I mean, it's one of the most important things, and that's why I was reading this. I was like, wow, it's just so true. And to continue, it says, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. Oops, this is not my version. Malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceding, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's just, the list goes on and on, just how evil the world is. And it goes, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. That was another thing my movies and TV and people that I wanted to see or people I wanted to hang out with, my dad would also say, no, you can't do that. No, we're not going to watch that. And I was like, we already know it's bad. Yes, we understand. Okay, yeah, we know what they're doing is bad. They're not Christians, okay? But he still wouldn't let us. I was like, Dad, we understand. We don't, you know, you don't need to tell me every single time. I get it. Right there. Stay away from those people. So what he said has complete, what's the word, authenticity to it. Right there it says, keep away from those people, those treacherous, those blasphemers, people who don't do any good in the sight of God and have godliness in their hand, and they just, God's right there, and they don't do anything with it. Well, for all that, you're thinking, wow, that's her favorite passage? That's kind of depressing. But if you move on over to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, it says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appealing and his kingdom, right there, preach the word. And mine has an exclamation point. So preach the word. Preach it right there. That's what we need to live by right there. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We see that now. Pastor Jim tells us that all the time. You know, and we know that. We hear it on TV. We hear it everywhere. They will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers and according to their own desires. Well, that pretty much speaks for itself. We see that all the time, too. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. They like it. They like the fables. Because people, like Pastor Jim told us before also, people like spiritualism. They like all that all that, oh yeah, Mr. Oh, they like the candles, they like the incense, and it doesn't have to be, you know, Catholicism with their traditions. It could be any religion. They like the bowing, they like the ceremonies, they like all that. Everybody loves that. They like to make up their own stuff. They like the fables. They like the legends. They like all that extra stuff. They don't want to hear the word. And that's why Paul says, preach the word. For you, be sober at all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And that's my favorite. So I'm done.
You're not all required to put in all the content that Charlie just did, but wasn't that good?
Yes.
Wasn't that enjoyable?
Yes.
This is what happens when you raise your kids in church, is that they actually come away knowing what they believe and why they believe it. Wouldn't you be glad if your teenager walked around with a mind like that? So good for Charlie. Let's see. Then I had a couple names here of kids who couldn't make it, who are out sick. Originally on our list, we had Anna, who is back from college. Look over there. She's all tan and everything. Back from Florida, making us all feel really pale. But she got in just last night. And so she asked her dad, she said, I'm not prepared for tomorrow. Am I required to do something? And he said, it's really up to you. Is that right? Did I get that all right? You're unprepared for this morning? Okay. But she has an excuse. She's tan. So, Josiah, you're next on our list. You ready, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay, it's hard to explain to you how much I like Josiah. Come on up here. You can stand here while I talk about you. Look at this guy. He's playing football now. What grade are you in now?
I'm a sophomore.
He's a sophomore now. Doing pretty good?
Yeah.
Getting good grades? What I know is your dad just couldn't be prouder of you. Every time I talk to him on the phone, it's like, Josiah this, Josiah that, let me tell you about Josiah. Oh, give it up. And so he's very proud of you, and we're all proud of you. The more we have grown to know Josiah, the more we've grown to love him. So there you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to start in Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The reason I like this verse is it's because that's all what God wants. Like, it's all up to him. I can't mess it up when I do stupid things, and I do that a lot. And if God has elected you, then you are saved. It's that simple. You are saved right there. And that just makes me feel secure, and I don't have to worry about making mistakes. And that's really why I like this passage. And that's all I have.
And that's why you raise your children in church, so that they can grow up secure, knowing that God, for his own purposes, out of love, chose and predestined his people, and they are secure. When I was his age, I was a very scared little Lutheran, because I was busy trying to work for my salvation and get myself saved and keep myself saved. How I wish, when I was Josiah's age, somebody had taught me what Josiah read for us this morning. This is why you raise your children in church. Good job, son. Devante, come on up here. Let me tell you about Devante. One day I got an email. And this guy says, I've been checking out your website. That's how he talked. Even in the email, that's what he sounded like. He said, I've been listening to you online. I've been listening to some of your messages. I think I might come visit your church, and would that be okay? And he said, you really don't know. You really don't understand what this has done for me. I said, well, okay, maybe he'll show up. He didn't just show up. He's here. His brothers are here. His sisters are here. His parents are here. His dad's sitting in the back row, and we're all going to feast on food that his mother is mostly responsible for today. The whole Moore family came here, and they are such a huge and integral part of GCA these days. We love them so much, and we're so glad that they came. And it's because this guy was surfing around on the net one day, heard the truth, and said, that's for me. And so I love you, pal, and I'm glad you're here.
Appreciate you.
All right.
Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I kind of cheated because I listened to Dr. Skeffel, which is like my new favorite pastor now. So. Yeah, that's what I meant. But I'm just going to tell you what he had told me. First thing he explained was, like, the context of this is Jesus had rebuked the cities. But then, because they hadn't repent, they didn't repent. And then he explains why they didn't repent in verse 27. You know, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal, you know, they get revealed to. But then he says that, how is it that Jesus can, you know, say that they didn't repent because he didn't will it, but still beckoning people to call? And he said that, you know, it's regeneration. That's how you kind of, God's sovereignty and human responsibility is kind of woven together with regeneration. So that kind of changed my thinking a lot, because I was always confused about that. And he went on to explain, you know, to come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And actually, the reason, one of the reasons why I chose this verse too was because I kind of needed it at the time. I was going to do Romans, but then I kind of heard this and I thought, you know, this is, I really enjoyed this. But he explained that all who labor and are heavy laden, that was a reference to sin. He was telling people to come to him who are burning down with sin and the law and not be able to relieve that stress. And he, you know, he goes on to saying, I will give you rest. And a rest isn't a physical, you know, taking a nap rest, but you will find rest for your souls. And he went on to explain that, you know, you go to church for Christ. You know, he said that he's the goodies. That's how he put it, you know. To be a Christian, Christ becomes your master. He explained the whole lordship, how he doesn't become your Lord later, but he is your Lord. And he explained that in verse 29 when he says, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And one of the things that kind of freed me was, you come to Christ, you kind of forsake yourself. You can't fix yourself. You can't be better. Some of the things that Tim was talking about a couple Sundays ago, just real freeing. Like, you have to learn from him. He has to teach you everything. You have to really die to yourself, because there's nothing, you have nothing to offer. The other thing he pointed out too was, you kind of get the character of Christ where he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And that word gentle was, he explained in Greek, and it's sort of like someone who's not, who has a lot of power and is able to retain it. And it's someone that pretty much not human. They're not going to be, you're not going to be annoyed by them. You know, there's always, everybody in this room, I'm sure, has something annoying about them. I'm sure I'm annoying to some people, but with Christ, it's not like that. He's approachable. You can't not like him unless you're, you know, either sin or not regenerated. And he says the lonely in heart wasn't a weak or meek thing, but it was a humble, a service type of thing. You know, you're finding rest for your souls. You know, that's really something you can't put a price on. You know, when you come to Christ, that's one of the things that you get, because, you know, we live in a world where, you know, you can have money, you can have everything, but if you're not secure, if you don't have peace, I mean, we say that a lot, but really, I mean, peace and security and salvation is infinitely more priceless than anything. I mean, I'll be poor, you know, to have rest for my soul, to have my, you know, my burdens lifted, like Romans 4:7, you know, to me, that, you know, life is kind of summed up to me with, blessed is the man whose lawless deeds is forgiven. And then the last verse, where it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Skeppel explained that doesn't mean that the Christian life is easy. He said the word easy is, you know, when you get his yoke, it's not to hurt you. because you're going to accomplish your goal, and it's going to be difficult, but it's going to be doable because you have Christ, the Father, and the Spirit. That's why I like that verse.
It's okay, Devante. I have a new favorite saint now, too. If you're going to listen to other preachers, which I do admonish you to do, never listen to just one man. You know, get all the education out there you can. Roger Scheffel is a very good guy to listen to. So, and you can go, for those of you interested, www.sovereigngracebibleconference.org. And click on the messages link, and you will find messages there from Roger Scheffel's teaching series, where he taught through some of the things that you heard referenced there. Roger's a very good exegete and a man after my own heart in many, 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 many ways. So let's hear from one of our young, young folk. Benji, come here. Where are you? Get up here, Benji. Look at this strapping young man. Would you like to stand on the stool, or is that good enough for you? Benji can do something I can't do. In fact, Benji can do something that no one else in this room can do. Benji can ride a unicycle. Whoa. See the respect you got for that? See? And I don't just mean ride a unicycle. I mean like rip snorting his way down a gravel driveway. And then onto the grass, and then turn around and back up and... Last time I was over at his house, he was on the unicycle having a conversation with me as he was like rocking back and forth and standing up and riding around me and standing talking to me. And I was amazed the whole time, and he did it like it was just second nature to him. So this is Tim's boy, and we sure do love the Barnard family here at GCA. So here is Benji Barnard.
I'm going to be reading in Genesis chapter 6, 13 through 22. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. You will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come with you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. I like this one because I like God, I like big boats, and I like animals. And I like when God talks about big boats and animals.
Impeccable logic. You can't argue with that logic. I like it when God talks about big boats and animals. Now, you see, Benji there is homeschooled, and he's being taught to read his Bible. Did you see that he didn't just read a verse? His older brother, who we will hear from in just a moment, had to be told that Jesus wept was not an option. He was going to say, Jesus wept, and the reason is he was sad. And then he was going to sit down. Did you notice that Benji took a nice big chunk of the Bible and read it out, and it's the actual text, what's actually said in the Bible? There are lots of books for kids about Noah and the Ark, but Benji's learning it out of the Bible. And so he's not going to fall for the traditions and the falderal that gets connected to Bible stories, because he's going to know what the Bible says. And this, again, is why you raise your children in church. Good job, Benji. I'm very proud of you, son. All right, Josh, it's your turn. Josh played piano for us just a few moments ago, and Josh is very quiet. It takes a lot to get Josh to talk. So here's Josh.
I am not going to be reading Proverbs 23:13.
Now tell them why.
Okay, fine. I guess I am reading that one. It says, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die." All right.
Preach it, Rob.
I'm going to be reading from Revelation 4, verse 6, and somewhere past that. I don't know. "And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.'" I just like that because that's, he made these weird looking creatures with eyes all over the place just because he could, just to make them worship him. And I thought that was cool. That just sounded cool to me.
And what was the central thing that the creature said about him?
He's holy.
He's holy. And if you know that, you won't get confused. Well enough.
Yeah.
A hand for Josh.
All right, good. A few minutes ago, we talked about Devante. Let's hear from Devante's sister, Cassia. Come on up here. This is a sweet girl. I don't know if you've had a chance to get to know Cassia at all, but Cassia has a very quiet, very easy spirit about her, and I like that about her. Now, her brothers will not agree with that statement because they are her brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had some very nice conversations together, and she's part of the Moore family, who we love very much here. So here's Cassia.
Hello.
Hi.
I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." I find this verse very interesting because if they had listened to their king and returned to him instead of listening to God, then Jesus probably wouldn't have lived throughout his whole life and not have died for our sins. But they feared God more than they feared their king, and so they listened to him instead. I also like this verse very much because if I had been in their position and if with my little brother and sister, I would have listened to God. That's why I find this verse, and I like it.
There you go.
I like that passage, too, because it says the wise men went and found the young child in a house. There were no wise men in the manger. Please, people, get that off your lawns. It's good for our kids, for our children, to know the real story, though, to know what the Bible really says about these things, so that they don't get caught up in the traditions. Tyler, come here. Here comes Tyler. Tyler doesn't have a Bible on him. Have you memorized your verse?
Yes,
sir. Wow, good job. Yeah. Good job.
This is the first verse I ever said.
Really? Do you want to stand up here? This will make it easier for you. Oh, now you're real tall. Look at you. Good job, Tyler. All right. This is Tyler Knox. And his mom is Christy, and his dad is Stephen over here. And Tyler is one of the few kids, I said, trying to put some of the other kids to shame. Tyler's one of the kids who volunteered to be part of this today. Aww. He wasn't on the list originally, and then his mom emailed me and said, Tyler wants in. You know, while the other kids were writing to me and saying, do I have to? Her kids begging off, you know. I just got in last night. I'm too tan. Yeah. You know, I just... But Tyler wanted in. So here's Tyler Knox.
I'm going to be reading John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Very good. And why did you memorize that verse?
Because it teaches you that if you sin and you still believe in God, you will still go to heaven.
Excellent. A hand for Tyler. Yay. How about that? He memorized that verse. He said it was one of the first verses he memorized. Scripture memorization is very important. I hope you folks are teaching your children to memorize the Bible, so that even if they don't have a Bible in front of them, they're thinking godly thoughts and thinking godly ways.
Yeah, you notice he didn't say God, so.
Yeah.
He's been listening.
He's been enculturated. Now, there will be somebody out there on the internet, I just have to say this, there will be somebody out there on the internet who at this very moment will be very upset and will say, listen to what they're teaching the children. That boy said that verse teaches you that you can, that even if you sin, you're still going to be saved. He's teaching antinomianism to his children. He's teaching that it's okay to sin if you're a Christian. That's not what Tyler believes. That's not what we believe. We're not saying go ahead and sin wildly. Paul said that we're not to sin all the more that grace may abound. And I know that's not what Tyler believes. But Tyler believes the same thing that Josiah read, which is that we are secure in the finished work of Christ, so that even if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and we're not lost because of that. Right, Tyler? Well done, little theologian. I appreciate that. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Now, come on up here. Come on up here. Man, we have all watched Allison go from a little girl about Tyler's size again to this beautiful young lady. I mean, when did this happen? She walked through the door a couple weeks ago, and I went, what are you, 20? It scares her father. No, I mean, it scares her father. No, I mean, I talked to her father. So we had a standing agreement, Allison and I, because last year for Youth Sunday, she was the first one up, and she said she didn't want to be first this year. So is this a good spot for you? Feel good about this? Following up behind Tyler?
Yeah.
All right, good.
I'm doing Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to still stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted on the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all the kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I picked this because it's very comforting to hear that you can do anything and be scared of nothing when you have God.
Very good. Very good.
Are you hearing the amount of theology that's coming out of these kids? It's like they know their Bible, they know what they believe, they know why they believe it. They know this because they were raised in church. They were raised with the Word. They were raised hearing sound doctrine, and it permeates their thinking. And it gives them, listen to what they've all been saying, it gives them security, it gives them peace, it makes them know they're okay before God. And if they know they're okay with God, then they're not going to be influenced by the peer pressure that kids who are just wandering aimlessly looking for acceptance somewhere, who will give in to every group and every gang. These kids won't, because they're secure, because they know that they're okay with God. I'm so impressed with you kids today. You're doing so well, and make me kind of all misty-eyed, because I'm old. Come on, James. Okay, now this strapping young man, I first met when he was born. Man, was he a good-looking kid. Still is. I'm glad you said that.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. This is a beautiful little blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid. When he was born, he was born with the umbilical cord around his neck. They thought that was the problem, because every time there were contractions, his heartbeat would plummet, and so they brought in the neonatal resuscitation unit and all this other stuff, and were really scared that when he was born, they were going to have to bring him back to life. And it turned out that what he had done was he had put his hand in the birth canal ahead of his head, so that his hand was planted on his head and his shoulder and elbow were blocking his way, so he couldn't get out. And after much pushing, he was born into the world with a cone head with a hand planted on the side of it.
Dad's doing that, James.
Yeah. No, but there's a point to this story. There's a point. Stick with me for a minute.
There's a point for me having a cone head? What?
No, I'll get there. Yeah. So we were all worried, of course, because when he was born stressed. And so, you know, they do the first numbers. What do they call those numbers? Apgar? Apgar. I was going to say TCAP, and I knew that was so wrong. And they do the Apgar numbers, and like his first numbers were like, uh-oh. And then like 5 minutes later, they did the numbers again. And he pinked right up, and I talked to him, and he got quiet. And those little blue eyes looked at me, and that tuft of blonde hair. And the nurse looked at me and said, "He's perfect." And in my book, still is. So here's my son.
Ahoy, hoy, and hello. Everyone, please turn to Psalm 37, if you please. I will be reading verses 1 through 9. I hope not to take up too much time, but I also hope to make a point with what I'm reading. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Technology is a wonderful thing. We have the internet, we have everything we can get, like newspapers, TV. We can view the news inside of our homes from across the world. We know what's going across the world. We've seen a lot of news, good and bad. We know the world is going crazy. We know that everything's going nuts. And there are times where people just say, wow, is anybody up there upstairs? But I'd like to think that as long as you trust the Lord, put faith in him, know that he will protect you and he's still in charge. He was in charge at the beginning and he will still be in charge at the end. That's why I always feel that even when the world seems to be at its worst, I still know there's someone out there that can help me. Up above. Thank you.
Yes, there we go.
Okay.
James has Asperger's syndrome, which is a form of autism. Through the years of public education, when we started out and put him in public education, there were lots of teachers and administrators and folks who wrote him off. And who said, you know, that he was unteachable, couldn't learn, all these kind of things. And you just heard him reading the Bible for you and telling you accurately what he gained from knowing that passage. He was bullied all his life growing up, so when he opens the Bible and the Bible says evildoers are going to get their just deserts, I'm the Lord, I'm going to take care of it, I'll protect you. He feels that in his heart. Because he has been protected his whole life by God's good grace. So, as far as I'm concerned, he's perfect.
That's twice the applause. I feel special now.
And that's why we homeschooled, by the way, and why he graduated high school with an earned degree with a B average. So take that, public education.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, last but not least is John Tumor, who, you know, when we were in 1 John and we had to say 1 John 2, he enjoyed that way too much. But we enjoy John 2, and the more I have gotten to know him, the more I see that he's just a real good, solid guy. Get up here. I'm talking about you. Get up here. So John 2 is the last of our youth today that's going to read for us. Haven't you enjoyed this?
Yes.
What a good morning this has been. All right, John 2.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs 1. Now, before I get into this, I just want to say the reason I'm choosing this because I was having a conversation with my grandmother one time, and I was telling before school started for me, and she's saying how proud she was, and she told me that God is going to help me along the way, and she told me, you know, a good place to start is Proverbs in the Bible. So I started in here with the scripture, and then while I was looking through, no, I should go back to Proverbs again because that's what my grandmother said. And I found the passage that I was going to use today, which I'm going to read in chapter 1, verses 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Basically, what he's telling you is that just listen to what he has to say, because what he has to say is very important. It's going to help you go along with your life, and he's not going to set you up to fail. It's going to set you up to succeed. And that's given, like, for everyday life, like with our parents. I mean, our parents are trying to raise us to be successful in our life so we don't have to run into any trouble. But, you know, there are always going to be people that's going to tell you otherwise as you read further. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. You know, there's going to be people that say, hey, your parents don't know anything, man. You're smart enough. Yeah, you say that now. Okay, you're feeling all 10 feet tall, feeling bulletproof. And then later on in your life, you're going to hit a breaking point or something that's going to crash your life, and then you feel like, wow, I guess I'm not 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I'm actually just a human being. And I guess maybe I should have listened to him, or maybe I should have listened to my father or my dad or my instructor, tutor. It could be anyone. Like my teachers always said, if you try and be successful in this business, you got to get a handle on the things that you're trying to learn. If you don't think you have a handle on it, read over it. If you think you got it, read over it again. If you still think you have it, read over it one more time until you get a handle on this, because these are going to help you become successful in the long run. So basically, that is why I chose this, because it's essential and it's true in everyday life. So us young folks, we like to thank the parents, because you guys are the reason why we're here. You guys are the reason that make us who we are, and you try to teach us and raise us right to be good and successful. So I just really want to thank the parents right here and God for giving me the opportunity to read this. Thank you.
Very good. One more round of applause for all our kids. Our kids and our young people. So thanks for being here this morning. Please stick around and eat, because we have plenty of food here. And Tyler just wants the payoff. He's like, yeah, food. Yeah, good. So thank you to all the kids who participated, to all the young people who participated. You made it a great morning. And made it easy on me for my first Sunday back. And I appreciate that very much. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to move some chairs out of here, set up some tables. Thank you for all the people who showed up here early and did all the decorating and everything out there. It looks absolutely great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for these young people that you have raised up. You are creating the next generation of the church. You are raising up young saints who are going to carry your word out into the world. We thank you for every family that's here today and for the ways that they have raised their kids, and that they have raised them in the church and have raised them under the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they know your word and that that is becoming the groundwork for their lives. So we thank you for the way that they have represented themselves and represented you this morning in the way that they have both read your word and talked about you. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the hands that have prepared this food. Thank you for the time we're going to spend together today and for the fellowship. Bless our fellowship together. Let it be sweet, and let it be a fellowship that resounds to your glory. Thank you for this church body. Thank you for their perseverance and their persistence while I was away. And thank you that no matter what happens, your word is proclaimed from this pulpit. We thank you for the many ways you have blessed this church. Thank you for providing again and again and again adequate funds to do the things we want to do and need to do. Thank you for this building. And thank you for the ways that you have made yourself obvious in this congregation. You haven't left us to ourselves, but you have raised yourself up a people, drawn them to yourselves, implanted your spirit in them, and secured them for all eternity. And for that, we call you holy, and for that, we call you Father, and for that, we worship and praise you forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's Salvation by Grace message. We welcome your feedback and encourage you to visit our website at salvationbygrace.org. And we invite you to join us next time when we gather around the Word and study the sovereign grace of God.